Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, how can I make it? I wonder. Hey, it didn't go through. That's weird.
Gonna tell you a little bedtime tale, legend it will become. Burgers flying out the door, sail on. 2-for-1, no concern for the future. Living for today. Fast food bite on your way, lay it all to waste. The masses are afflicted now. Moo, mad cow. Mad cow. Mad cow, mad cow, line dance song.
Hey, Sign Guy Nation, welcome to the show. QT and Sign Guy with you once again here on a Friday afternoon. Some show notes if you're looking at wrestling before we jump into the interview today. Tonight, WCWO in Indianapolis like usual, UEW in Los Angeles, California, VIPW in Victoria, B.C., AWN in Fort Valley, Georgia, AMW in Viper, Kentucky, PWP in Omaha, Nebraska, and the IWF featuring the return of Troy Miller and the Dice Man Ronnie Vegas tonight. And tomorrow night, HPW in Columbus, Indiana, MSWA in Rockwood, Tennessee, USA Championship Wrestling in Covington, Tennessee, featuring Jerry Lawler versus Dangerous Doug Gilbert, MPW in Kaiser, Oregon, EWF in Baldwin Park, California, AWF in Ringgold, Georgia, HOW in Fox Lake, Illinois, SSW in South Bend, Indiana, ETW in Cynthia, Kentucky, RWA in Waseca, Minnesota, EWA in Seagrove, North Carolina, AIWF in Toledo, Ohio, OR in Lima, Ohio, CPW in Tulsa, Oklahoma, WVCW in Princeton, West Virginia, ICW in Marion, Indiana, and WCWC in Portland, Oregon tomorrow. Without further ado, I'd like to bring our guest on today. He is out of the great state of New York, the King of Chaos, Logan Black. Welcome to the show.
What's going on, everybody? How you doing?
Doing very well. Thank you for taking time on a Friday to be with us. And since today is your first time on our particular show, you get our first-timer's question to start. What led to you getting in the business of professional wrestling?
Oh, man. What led to me getting into wrestling? Well, I mean, I was always a fan. I grew up a huge fan. My father, all my uncles, my mother. Actually, one of my uncles used to be an executive producer in NBC Sports out of Maryland and was used to follow the NWA like pretty seriously over there because it was, you know, followed on the news. So growing up, I got the opportunity to meet quite a few wrestlers. I have pictures with Ric Flair. I'm sitting there in like a Big Bird shirt, you know, next to the, you know, 16-time World Heavyweight Champion. So it was, you know, I was raised around it. I was always a big fan. And I said I had to do it. I took 1 year in college, saved up a bunch of money all throughout high school and, you know, that year of college. And the rest is history. I joined up, still taking classes in school while training. And, yeah, I mean, that's pretty much it. I just put my entire life into the road and, you know, trying to do everything I can for wrestling. At this point, I'm, you know, 10 years wrestling, you know, as often as I possibly can. These past few years have been pretty great for me. I've been just, you know, wrestling left and right every weekend, you know, multiple times a weekend. So it's been great.
Now, you say you've been in for 10 years. Anyone that's in wrestling for any length of time has to deal with injuries. It's just part of the natural part of wrestling. And I'm sure you've had a few in your day. What are some of the injuries that you've had to overcome thus far?
Hold on 1 second. You're breaking up for me just one moment. I'm sorry.
I was asking about any injuries that you've had to overcome so far.
Okay, so injuries. where can I start with injuries? I got two knees that barely work at this point. A lower back that's all kinds of messed up. I can only turn my head, I would say, about 40, 45% of what most people can. I'm three concussions in. I've lost, I think I've chipped one tooth, lost fully another tooth. Luckily, they're not in the front, so I still appear as attractive as I possibly could. Scars all over my body from various hardcore matches I've done. Oh, man. And then again, just the normal aches and pains that, you know, anybody who's been wrestling for a little while can attest to.
One of the more important things for a wrestler to be able to maintain shape so they can compete at a high level is diet. Do you have any particular diet regimen that you maintain?
Oh, yeah, no. It's definitely been a massive change for me. I wasn't raised by, you know, watching what I ate, or I wasn't really raised around eating healthy. So, you know, in the past, I'd say 5 years, really taking diet seriously, you know, watching, you know, all of, you know, my macro intake, you know, moderate carbs, fats, high protein. I have the same lunch and dinner every single day of grilled chicken breast and brown pasta. Breakfast is always egg whites. I don't like eggs very much, so I just drink the egg whites to kind of, you know, get them out of my body. A cup of milk and maybe a little bit of cereal to get some carbs in me. And that's pretty much it every day. Post shows on the weekend are usually, for me, a chance for me to kind of cheat a bit, because you get out of a show 10, 11 o'clock, maybe sometimes later, you really can't get much. You know, there's a 7-Eleven or a Wawa. Tonight we're going to be in Pennsylvania, so it's the Sheets that are open. So you don't really have too many options. You just got to take what's on the road.
I'm sure you've had a lot of road partners in your career. Do you have any people that you normally ride with that adhere to an extremely strict diet, that they have to have certain foods at certain times and it has to be a certain way? Does it make it kind of hard to ride with them when they're that regimented with the diet?
I don't think it makes it that hard to ride with somebody like that, because usually if you're that regimented, like, you're pretty good about, you know, being independent about that. My former tag partner, Rude Boy Riley, who's, you know, making a name for himself, he's actually right now getting his NXT tryout down in Florida. Apparently he's kicking total, you know, behind down there. When he was losing his weight to get shredded, he was dieting that way. Jason Carrion, that's the name he's going by now. He was on the reality show Married at First Sight, trained with me, breaking in, and I've wrestled all over with him as well. He was even more regimented to the point where he had his gear bag on the road and then would have an entire other bag just filled with either, like, chicken breast and I think it was quinoa, and then every hour on the hour would be having oats and whey protein. So, yeah, it's pretty serious when you're that regimented to be going about things. But it's, you know, the sacrifices that you kind of need to make in order to, you know, look like an athlete and perform like an athlete in this business.
Now, you wrestle a lot in the New York area, and there's been a lot of buzz in the last year or so about the commission up there and the changes that they have made. What's your take on not only the New York Athletic Commission, but just athletic commissions in general as it relates to wrestling in the year 2017?
Well, now you've opened up Pandora's box for me, because I've never quite been known to hold my tongue on many things, let alone the Athletic Commission. So the New York State Athletic Commission, I think they don't necessarily serve as much of a purpose. I don't think most athletic commissions serve a purpose when it comes to wrestling. I've got a lot of respect for commissions like those in Virginia. I've never seen them do anything wrong. They show up, they collect their, you know, tax money, they make sure everybody's licensed. I can't have any issue with that. the New York State Athletic Commission doesn't require licensing to be a wrestler. They do require licensing to run a show. They require quite a bit, especially now. You need an ambulance on hand. You need mats outside of the ring. You need a lot of things to kind of run with them. And then they like, depending on the commissioner, if they decide to enforce certain rules they have in the book. Mind you, this book was written in, if I'm not mistaken, like either the 20s or 30s to commission both boxing and wrestling, which obviously were different at that point. So you've got rules in there that people like to enforce only when they want to. For example, they don't allow fighting outside the ring near the crowd, which, I mean, a lot of everyone's favorite match. I know personally a lot of my favorite matches growing up were those wild brawls that you saw go all over the arena. You know, the fans love that kind of thing. And shit, I don't necessarily – I mean, I can't really think of a reason for that not to happen outside of, you know, making sure the people are safe. But I've been on, you know, at least 100 shows, you know, rather in the past year at least. And there's been situations like that where nobody has gotten hurt. Nobody will get hurt because people aren't stupid. There was also that incident at a show that I was on where the commission stepped in and tried to stop an intergender match over the last summer, where the commissioner had no right to do so. It wasn't in his rule book. He just, again, felt like enforcing the rules he wanted to enforce and kind of threw a fit when we called him out on it. And he ended up, you know, we ended up on the phone with the lawyers, and they said that we had, you know, every right to do that. So in terms of New York, the Athletic Commission, you know, can really suck it for all I care. They're a corrupt group, in all honesty, who really serves no other purpose than to get on, you know, people's backs over things that, you know, it's entertainment. I haven't had any other issues with other athletic commissions. I know Pennsylvania has an athletic commission that people have had issues with here and there. I know, again, Virginia does. But outside of New York, I've caught no issues with any other commissioner.
Well, we on this show have a game that we like to play. It's a little psychological game called Bring On The Choice, Bring On The Funk. I will ask you a series of two options. The one that you prefer is the answer. Are you prepared for a round to Bring On The Choice, Bring On The Funk?
I was born ready.
Body slam or suplex?
Suplex.
Mask or face paint?
Face paint.
Ring of Honor or CZW?
Ooh. It's hard. Let's go Ring of Honor. Got a lot of things out there.
Water or sports drink?
Water. Always water. No calories.
Morning or evening?
Let's go with evening.
Snow ski or water ski?
Let's do snow ski. I don't like the water.
Arm drag or hip toss?
Arm drag, steamboat style.
Singlet or trunks?
Let's go with trunks.
The final one, Mark Briscoe or Marcus Bagwell?
Mark Briscoe.
All right. Well, you mentioned the incident last year when the Athletic Commission tried to stop an intergender match. That got a lot of play all over social media. I don't know if that helped or hurt their cause, but social media in this day and age, a very prominent, very big part of most businesses, especially the wrestling business. Do you think overall on the independent level, wrestling promoters and wrestlers themselves are using social media to its fullest potential?
Do I think they're using it to their fullest potential? No, I don't. I think nobody quite uses social media to their fullest potential because I don't think that we've quite found what the potential of social media is. I think it's one of the most amazing things where at any point, if I want to, you know, wrestle wherever, you know, if let's say I want to go to Florida, I can look up in 5 minutes every company running out of Florida. And that's amazing, and being able to reach out to them. And likewise, I can be able to post my, you know, match or my promo or my, you know, pictures anywhere on the internet to be able to get it, you know, a whole lot of have a lot of eyes on it. But I still think that there's a lot of promotions that really, you know, need to find their ability to use social media and be ahead of the curve. And I think that's a real thing to focus on, being ahead of the curve. WWE tried that quite a few times with, I mean, I'm not sure if anyone remembers the social media platform, Tout, or I forgot the name of the other one that was like 6 seconds worth of video. They were ahead of the curve on everyone jumping on that. And I think that's one of those things where, you know, a lot of wrestlers and a lot of promoters need to be ahead of the curve in jumping on these things and finding every opportunity they can to promote their product.
Well, at this point, my co-host QT is standing by. I know he has a laundry list of questions, so I'm going to pass things along to him.
Well, thank you, Sign Guy. Hello, Logan.
Hey, what's going on, man? How you doing?
Not too bad. Logan, before I begin my questioning of you, I'd like to give a shout-out to Aries Toretto, your fruit pie, for being ranked number one on the Turnbuckle Turmoil Weekly Wrestle Rankings is on its way. Your fruit pie. Yes. Okay, very good. Logan, we usually start off the second half of our show with the standard question, what's the hardest knife-edge chop you have ever received in the ring, and was it possibly from a lady wrestler? But this week, I think the question is mute or void. I'm going to guess that the hardest knife-edge chop, and indeed, for that matter, a series of knife-edge chops that you received was from Bear Bronson. I saw your YouTube video entitled The King of Chaos, Logan Black versus Bear Bronson, Warriors Unleashed, Volume 23. My question is, am I correct in my video analysis that these were indeed the hardest knife-edge chops you've ever received?
I think you'd probably be correct in that assumption, although if that's number one, I would have to say that a very, very close second goes to Bonesaw Jesse Brooks, who I also wrestled at one of those Unleashed studio tapings. But I also, I got to give credit as well, because it's not a knife edge chop, but it was an overhand chop to Bill Carr, the wrestler, part of a tag team with Dan Barry. Bill Carr is a giant man who throws pretty ridiculous overhand chops, and it echoed throughout the building, and I had a giant, like, frying pan-like handprint on my chest for the better part of a week.
Oh, my God. Oh, wow. All right. Okay. Very handprint on the chest. Okay. That is a mark of a good knife-edge chop. Now, Logan, this was filmed at the Warriors of Wrestling Training Center. Is this training center located in the Hoboken area of New Jersey?
No, actually, the Warriors Wrestling School is in Staten Island, New York. We're actually right across the bridge from New Jersey, or maybe 15 minutes out from Jersey. But, yeah, we're in Staten Island. It's usually where Warriors runs our shows, in the same kind of arena, just a different placement. So our school is there. I'm one of the head trainers at that school. The promoter, Joey B., is another one of the head trainers. And as is Rude Boy Riley, who, again, mentioned before, is currently having his NXT tryout.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, I noticed a large number of what appears to be photographs or vinyl rock albums lining the wall of the training center. They appear to be generally the same size, and the top row has around 20 or so, and they are stacked four rows deep. Now, I'm guessing they are photographs of people that have attended the training center. However, if they are rock albums, is the album Hotter Than Hell by Kiss one of the albums?
I'll tell you, if they were albums, the Boss, Most Definitely won a whole bunch of Kiss albums up there. Those are actually every single show poster from every show that we've ever done. So when we go out, we have shows, we have people, you know, putting up posters all over Staten Island or all over, you know, whatever town that we're doing the show in. So that is every single one, all 110 shows so far in the 9-plus years that Warriors of Wrestling has been around. To kind of give the background and the history for anybody who's coming in to see that, you know, we are actually the company in New York that runs, you know, not only the most frequently, but, you know, the most legitimately for, like I said, 9-plus years.
Oh, well, okay. All the posters of the 110 shows that your training center has done, I got to tell you, those might be worth something someday, just like a poster of Woodstock or the Iowa Rite might be today. Those command very good prices for those 60s concerts. Yes, Woodstock.
Yeah, no,
okay.
I think certainly with some of the guys that we've had come through the company who have made it, Will Ferraro, who's currently wrestling for Ring of Honor, was on our shows for years. He was in my first match ever in Warriors of Wrestling on our first show, I wrestled Will. He's currently in Ring of Honor, you know, currently killing it out there. Rude Boy Riley, destined for great things. A lot of our students destined for great things. Again, you know, you're looking at, you know, the independent equivalent of, like you said, what might be worth something in a number of years.
Oh, all right. Well, my analysis of your YouTube video albums on the wall was wrong. However, Logan, Hotter Than Hell is the second studio album that was released by Kiss. It was released on October 22nd, 1974 by Casablanca Records. It was certified gold on June 23rd, 1977, having shipped 500,000 copies. The songs Hotter Than Hell, Got to Choose, and Parasites are songs that are found on this album. My question is, my wrestling sources in Shelton, Washington, tell me that you are thinking of using the song Parasite as your new entrance music. Are my sources from Shelton, Washington, correct?
I'll be honest. And this will probably get me a bit of heat with maybe some listeners, maybe you guys in the studio, but I'm not much of a Kiss fan, so can't say that I'd be using that song as an entrance theme.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay, that's cleared up. Okay. Well, Logan, on the second album, Hotter Than Hell, there is a song called Going Blind. This song details a doomed romance between a 93-year-old man and an underage girl. The song was written by Simmons and Stephen Coronel during their days with Wicked Lesnar. My question is, are you afraid of slowly going blind by an older age by the many eye pokes and blows to the head you have received in the square circle? And when was your last optometrist visit?
Man, I can't tell you when my last optometrist visit was. I can say that I could definitely see a difference in my memory, And I guess my vocabulary as well is greatly changed from all the head trauma I've taken and the concussion. I'd like to think my eyesight's pretty good, though. For the most part, I'm pretty good about, you know, making sure those eye pokes, you know, aren't quite getting in there and doing a whole lot of damage. But head trauma I can't quite speak to. Again, if you've seen that match at Bear Bronson, you see me get dropped on my head quite a few times.
Oh, okay, all right. Well, take it for Gene Simmons to write a song about a 93-year-old man and an underage girl, I tell you that. Yes, okay. All right, well, Logan, Canadian progressive rock band Rush, who had toured with Kiss in their early years, poked fun at this song with a parody called I Think I'm Going Bald from their 1975 album, Caress of Steel. In the book Contents Under Pressure, Rush frontman Geddy Lee explained, "We were touring a lot with Kiss in those days, and they had a song called I Think I'm Going Blind. So we were kind of taking the piss out of that title by just coming up with this. Lee noted that the title originated with Rush drummer Neil Peart, who was making light of the fact that guitarist Alex Lifeson was constantly worried about the future possibility of going bald, often employing all kinds of ingredients to put on his scalp. And I think it just got Neil thinking about aging. My question is, one, are you a big fan of Rush? And two, are you yourself afraid of going semi-bald by the many illegal hair pulls that you have received from your opponents?
So I will without a doubt say that I'm a huge Rush fan. I saw Rush play out here on Long Island a number of years back, possibly one of the best live shows I've ever seen. So I grew up listening to Rush, definitely a big Rush fan. In terms of fear of losing my hair from hair pulls, I don't know, man. I used to have a shaved head for years. I decided the last couple of years to grow in a mohawk. It's sticking around. No one seems to have the guts to pull my hair quite as often as I think they would. I'm liking this mohawk. I think it's going to be sticking around. And, you know, for the most part, people don't like messing around with the mohawk. There's not a whole lot to grab onto, so they don't even bother.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. Now, would two of your top Rush songs be Red Bruschetta and Beyond the Gilded Cage?
I'll be honest. I think I grew up playing guitar and bass, so YYZ is probably one of my favorite songs. I know that it might be a bit weird because it's instrumental, but it's just one of those songs where I think anybody who's ever picked up an instrument is gonna, you know, kind of look up to that song, either that or Eruption by Van Halen. But I'd say that and, oh, man, quite a few. I mean, it might sound cliche, but I'm going to go with Free Will because the solo in Free Will is just blistering.
Oh, okay. All right. I hope that you yourself have a lot of Free Will in the ring. How about Tom Sawyer?
Oh, yeah, that's an absolute classic. Tom Sawyer is a fantastic song. Again, just as of note, have you ever seen Rush live?
Oh, yes. Yes.
Yeah, you know, they intro Tom Sawyer with a clip from South Park. It's always hilarious.
Yes, on the recent tour, yes. Yes. Let me see now. I'm trying to think of the name of South Park, the band they formed. Oh, yes. I think it was Faith Plus One. Cartman formed a Christian band.
Yes, it was. Faith Plus One.
Yes. Oh, all right. Well, and that brings up an off-the-cuff question. Do you know any of your wrestlers at WOW that are Butters Leopold Scotch-like in persona? Very, very interesting.
Absolutely.
Question.
No. This is probably one of the better questions I've gotten, only because we have a student at the Wars of Wrestling Training Center, Vinny Pacifico, who is an excellent talent, a wonderful up-and-comer. You can follow his interesting quotes on Twitter at Things BPAC Says, and he is most definitely our Leopold Butterscotch. Not a bad bone in his body, the sweetest kid ever, but the most naive human being that you'll ever meet.
Whoa, okay. That's very. Can you repeat for our Turnbuckle Terminal listeners that wrestler's real name? This is very interesting.
Vinny Pacifico is his wrestling name. And again, follow his Twitter handle, and it's all his interesting, weird quotes at Things BPAC Says.
Oh, okay. All right. Very good. Vinny Pacifico. Okay. All right. Well, Logan, at the 6:53 mark of your match with Bear Bronson, you have him backed into the corner and are delivering clubbing overhand rights, and you can clearly see some tattooed words on your upper back. Can you tell our Turnbuckle Turmoil listeners what these words are?
So on my back, I have tattooed Search and Destroy, which for me, again, I grew up listening to, you know, a lot of rock music, but the better part of my high school years was listening to punk rock. And I think I've held on to the punk rock aesthetic, well into, you know, where I am now. And the band Iggy Pop and the Stooges completely changed my outlook on everything, of just like kind of, you know, smash everything and, you know, don't ask questions. So for me, Search and Destroy was, you know, the song by the Stooges was, I guess, a life motto of how I wanted to present myself to the world. And I think, again, you've got me clubbing at somebody left and right in the ring. That's probably the best explanation of that, you know, that I can give.
Yes, yeah, and you know, when he first heard this song, that was what cemented Nikki Sixx of Motley Crue to undertake and seriously undertake a music career listening to that song. I'm a street walking cheetah with a hot heart full of napalm. Very good words. Yes.
Absolutely.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, him and Henry Rollins. You know, there's probably
Henry Rollins of Black Flag. Yes.
Who could say the same thing about the Stooges? Absolutely revolutionary band.
Yes. Okay. All right. Well, Logan, from the 7:39 mark until the 7:47 mark of the match, you delivered 5 headbutts to Bear's forehead and top of the head. The effectiveness of these headbutts were in question because you, too, seemed to be dazed by headbutt damage. My question is, do you wish at that point of the match that you had Samoan heritage in you, because they don't seem to be so affected by headbutts, the Samoans, like Samoan wrestlers such as Coco Samoa, Sika Anoa'i, yes, Umaga, and to a slightly lesser extent, Peter Maivia. They seem to weather headbutts, but you didn't. Do you wish you had a better Samoan heritage? Yes. Yes.
Man, I, without a doubt, I think I should have been Samoan to not be able to get any damage done to my head. I'd also would like to be Samoan because a lot of them got a fast track into WWE. That'll be an easy way for me to make some cash. But yeah, it's one of those things where you throw a headbutt and you know it's going to hurt you, but you know it's going to hurt the other guy more. So it would certainly help to have that kind of heritage and have, you know, a concrete skull to be able to smash into people.
Yes, it's kind of like a headbutt of attrition damage. Headbutt, yes. Okay. All right, very good. All right, well, Logan, at the 10:45 mark, you threw Bear Bronson off your extreme lower chest and upper stomach. This was not exactly a fulcrum point for maximum leverage efficiency. In fact, this required max effort as compared if he were sitting more forward on your upper chest. How did you develop such strength in your arms, chest, and traps to throw off such a big man who is built in a similar body cycle or build like WWE superstar Rhino?
So for me, I spend quite a bit of time at the gym trying to build my upper body. I'm actually probably going to be starting some workout stuff on both my Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, just kind of showing off what I go about, because I've gained a reputation as somebody who, when being chopped by other people, I know you had asked a question about chops, I know 4 people have complained that they've bruised their hands while chopping my chest. So I figure I should show people, you know, what exactly I'm doing for that. And, you know, truth be told, I'm doing, like, actual powerlifting training for my chest and also working in a lot of accessory work in order to kind of just build the mass that you would need to kind of, you know, take any kind of trauma and not necessarily feel it as much as the next person.
Wow, they actually bruise their hands while chopping your chest?
Yep, 100%. Bear Bronson was one of those people. I had posted the text message he had sent me after the match from later that night on my Instagram, which also should be on my Facebook, I believe, which you can follow at King of Chaos NYC on Instagram. He had mentioned it. I know Jesse Bonesaw Brooks had mentioned it. Juba, Rude Boy Riley, these are 4 people who've told me that they've bruised their hands while chopping me.
Wow, holy God. Well, I think if someone tried to give me, you know, some knife-edge chops, they'd receive a manicure when their hands hit my chest. Yes, a soft manicure, yes. Okay. Well, Logan, Bear got the win after a combination discus punch and pile driver combination. My question is, did you ever throw the discus in high school? And did you know that the Women's Olympic Games world record is 72.3 meters by Martina Hillman of East Germany?
I wasn't aware that the East Germans had such incredible discus skills, I'll be honest with you. That's an interesting note to find out. I didn't actually play sports in high school. The high school that I went to, Edward R. Murrow High School in Brooklyn, New York, actually had no organized sports teams. They put a lot of their work into their drama program and their music program. I was actually there doing a lot of music stuff. Like I mentioned before, I was a musician. So I had really put my focus into music over there. Again, because there was really nothing athletic to go about. It's unfortunate. I really wish I would have been able to take wrestling in high school, you know, like a lot of other people.
Oh, okay. Well, Logan, I also saw your YouTube video entitled The Stepdads versus Logan Black and Mr. Grimm. Were you excited to team with Mr. Grimm, who some say bears a striking resemblance to Mark Henry and would have the same body size if Mr. Grimm were enlarged by 35%?
I'll tell you, Mr. Grimm is possibly one of the most talented big men that I've come across in pro wrestling. He's starting to get his name out there, and you know, with good reason. The guy is, you know, well over 250 pounds, has an immense amount of power, and can hop off the top rope like a cruiserweight. He's incredibly unique. I've never seen anybody like him, so I was very excited to tag up with him. I would definitely like to see what he's capable of in a match with me at some point, but you know, that's up to the powers that be to book that wherever they feel like booking myself or Mr. Grimm.
He kind of reminded me of Bobby Lashley. Yes. Bobby Lashley.
Yeah, no, I mean, Bobby Lashley's an incredible athlete as well. I think Grimm, to me, reminds me a bit of, I don't know how far back, you know, a lot of the wrestling fans go in terms of what they're watching, but of John Cronus, who was a guy who, again, was a big dude, close to 300 pounds, and could do moonsaults. He could do 450 splashes. He was doing space-flying tiger drops to the outside, which was, you know, a move popularized by, you know, the 160-pound great Sasuke. You know, John Cronus is doing it at 300 pounds. That's, for me, I guess, who Grimm reminds me of.
Well, I got to tell you, Logan, I think I saw a lucha wrestler at ringside at WOW, and if so, was she the famous female luchador wrestler known as La Diablica? La Diablica.
No, I'm trying to think of what luchador we had over there. Might have been a guy named by the name of Jose Salvador, a real small fella from the South Texas area. But yeah, he's actually Jose had come down from Texas, moved up to New York, and is training at Warriors of Wrestling. Hell of a talent, hell of a luchador. Probably needs to put on a bit of size and maybe get a tan going.
Oh wow! Okay, needs to get a tan going. I'm not sure if he'll find that too much in New York, though. Yes. Okay. Well, Logan, the referee did a good job in breaking up the stepdad double team of you while in their corner at the 728 to 732 mark. His demand to break was clear and concise, and so was his counting to three. Do you recall the name of this referee who looked to be no older than 22 and probably only weighed 140 pounds?
Well, I'm trying to think of referees that come to those tapings that, you know, look very young and, you know, only weigh 120 pounds. It's probably referee Chris Levin, who looks like a 22-year-old hobbit. He's a tiny little fella and an obnoxious little fella as well. So I'm trying to think, the only one that I could think of is probably him. He looks young, and, you know, weighs about 120 pounds, maybe soaking wet with a brick in his pocket.
Wow. All right. That was probably him. Okay. Very good. All right. Well, Logan, you and Mr. Grimm got the victory over the Stepdads. Did this propel you up the weekly rankings in Warriors of Wrestling weekly polls? And by contrast, did the Stepdads suffer a steep plummet?
I think it definitely did quite a bit for myself and Mr. Grimm. Stepdads are still doing their thing, trying to, you know, bump their way up the card. But I know Grimm is looking for he just earned himself a spot in the upcoming Warriors of Wrestling No Limits title tournament. And I've got myself a main event against former WWE star Rikishi upcoming on, was it February 11th the show is? Yeah, February 11th.
Wow, you've got a match with Rikishi?
Yes, that is correct.
Oh, watch out for that stink face. Try not to collapse in a corner. Yes.
Okay. I'm already training my best to stay up in the corner no matter what I do.
Wow, very good. All right, okay. Well, Logan, who is your instructor or commissioner at WOW, and would you like me to contact him about establishing a weekly WOW ranking based on our Turnbuckle Turmoil Northwest Wrestler Top 9 and 7/8 weekly rankings? We have one here. Would you like me to contact your commissioner to establish a WOW ranking?
Yeah, that'd be a great idea. That'd be a great idea to get in touch with Joe Bellini on Facebook. I could definitely link you up later on.
Oh, okay. Very good. I'll look forward to that. Joe Bellini. Okay. Very good. All right. Well, Logan, Revlon Beauty Products recently unveiled to the public a hairbrush with a computerized chip. This chip can provide a printout of how hard a customer is stroking his or her hair and the average length of stroke. The retail cost is prohibitive in the price range of around $200. My question is, what is the least expensive foreign object that you have pulled out of your trunks?
Oh, man, probably the brass knucks that I have in there all the time. Those brass knucks didn't cost me a whole lot, and they've been incredibly effective in gaining me some wins all over the place. Brass knucks, dirt cheap. Get them online.
Wow, brass knuckles. Okay, all right. Well, let me just say for a Turnbuckle Turmoil logbook that I hope you make enough money one day to afford this $200 Revlon beauty brush to someday pull out of your trunks. Yes. Okay. All right. Well, Logan, before we came on the air, I introduced Sign Guy to Big Bang Theory's Fun with Flags with Dr. Sheldon Cooper. My question is, have any of your opponents' managers flown the white flag of surrender like Amy Farrah Fowler flew on the first episode with Fun with Flags?
Oh, man. I'll tell you, I'll be honest. I recently saw on a show that I was on a manager actually throw in the towel for he was tricked into throwing in the towel for his wrestler. He's never been in the ring with me, but for the first time in 10 years, I actually was able to see that at Battle Club Pro in the Bronx, New York.
Oh, all right. Well, I guess a white towel can be substituted for a white flag. Okay, very good. All right. Well, at this point, I'm going to turn it back over to Sign Guy. And may I say, I do give the A-OK and approval of your musical taste, especially with Iggy and the Stooges, Seek and Destroy. Yes.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. Thank you so much. It was great chatting wrestling and music with you.
May you seek and destroy your opponents like a street-walking cheetah with a heart full of napalm.
As I always do, my man.
Oh, okay. Okay, back to you, Sign Guy.
Thank you, QT. Well, Logan Black, you were called the King of Chaos. Of course, Chaos was the name of a former WCW Tag Team Champion. He held the title briefly with Rick Steiner. Is there any correlation or relationship between yourself and former WCW star Chaos?
We're talking about Kenny Chaos, the former tag team partner of Robbie Rage, two graduates from the Power Plant. I know my wrestling trivia here, apparently. I wouldn't say there's any relation between us. There's not even, I'd say, a similarity in terms of style. The reason I'm called the King of Chaos is because literally you're not going to know what you're getting any time that I step in the ring. I can kind of come at you from any angle, from any style. I really genuinely thrive off of chaos. You know, whatever's around me, I'm going to use. You know, whatever body part I've got free, I'm going to use. It's, again, just a matter of kind of bringing something out to the ring that the crowd isn't expecting, my opponent isn't expecting, and the promoter sure as hell isn't expecting.
3 miles, turn right on West Burn Street. All right. Well, another thing that happens a lot in professional wrestling is there's interactions with the fans on almost every show. There's good interactions with fans, there's bad interactions with fans, but so far to date, what's been your favorite moment with a fan?
Oh, man, there's a lot to choose from. Jenny, I'm one of those guys, again, I came from the punk rock and hardcore music aesthetic where, you know, the bands were on the same level as the people who paid to see them. So my whole idea of anything is, you know, if you're paying to see me, if you're a fan of me, you know, you got my respect, you got my love. So I always like to give back to fans however I can. I think my favorite interaction with a fan ever was, we had run a show in Queens, New York, at a nightclub, and the elevator was broken down, and there was one gentleman who was coming to the show, and he was in a wheelchair. He couldn't get up the stairs, so I had volunteered with another couple of guys to help him get him up the stairs, and he was just really, really thankful for that opportunity. But I think for me, what stuck out to me was the fact that this person was willing to, you know, be helped up, do everything that he could to get up those stairs with everybody just because he wanted to see wrestling. So in my eyes, that's a fan who, you know, loves this so much that I have nothing to ever complain about. So that guy earned all my respect. For me, that was the best interaction I had to kind of put my ego and my brain in check to realize that, you know, there's a reason you do this, and it's fans that love wrestling that much. You know, that's why I do it.
Now, what is some of the best advice that you have received from someone in the wrestling business? And on the flip side of that, what do you feel has been the best advice that you have given someone in the wrestling business?
The best advice I've ever gotten has probably been, I mean, honestly, it's probably the same advice that I give, you know, the same I've given, same that I've been given and same that I give, which is no matter what you do, love what you're doing and be different. No matter who you are or what your style is or what you're looking to achieve, stand out, be different. Dusty Rhodes was somebody who was not, he didn't look, he didn't act, he didn't wrestle like any wrestler on the card, you know, with him. Same with Terry Funk. Same with Hulk Hogan. There was nobody like them. And you want to stand out. If there's anything that I can say to anybody or the best advice given to me is stand out, you know, as a performer.
Now, at 10 years into your career, obviously you're seeing new crops of talent, a lot of rookies coming in that have less than 3 years' experience. Who are some of the newer wrestlers that you've seen recently that you think are going to develop into the superstars of 5 to 10 years from now?
Well, I mean, I'm lucky enough to be working at the Warriors of Wrestling Training Center and see a lot of up-and-coming guys. They're all really hungry. They want to get out there. They want to wrestle. They love doing it. And there's some really talented guys there. Just off the top of my head, I'm going to name a few of them. The Plug, Tony Booz, Isaiah Wolf, Chris Benny, The Living Weapon, Jason Sinclair, Frat Boy Farva, TK Luther, Vinny Pacifico, who I mentioned earlier. I can go on and on and on. A lot of really super talented guys coming out of there. That's really, I guess, where my focus is. I give all the credit in the world to New England, which is one of my favorite places to wrestle in. But a lot of those guys have been doing it for, you know, more than 3 years, so I can't quite put that stamp on them. But, yeah, Staten Island is going to be a hotbed of wrestling within the next 10 years with a lot of these guys coming out.
You have done a lot of tag team wrestling as well as singles wrestling throughout your career. Do you personally have a preference on one or the other?
I've grown to really love tag team wrestling. Myself and Rude Boy Riley at the Scumbag Nation, also joined with Dirt Dog Jeremy Leary at the East Coast Bastard Crew. I've genuinely really begun to enjoy tag team wrestling and trios wrestling. So I would say that I think I like that a bit more than the single stuff, although the single stuff does give me more of the freedom to kind of do my own thing and, again, you know, live up to the name King of Chaos.
One of the more important aspects in pro wrestling, especially on the independent level, is guys are trying to recoup some money since the pay is a little bit lower, is merchandising. Do you have a type of merchandising out there that fans can get in order to line your pockets a little bit more per show?
Oh, yes, I do. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to shill them here as well. You can check out all of my shirt designs. I've got 3 of them up on my Facebook, on my Instagram, and Twitter, again, King of Chaos NYC. I have stickers that are coming out soon. I'll be having a new shirt within the next month. So, yeah, most definitely. Anytime you see me in a show, I'm selling my shirts. I'm actually going to have to start getting a repress of one of them because they sold like hotcakes. And, again, you can check all that out on my my social media page. I've got those shirts up.
Now, QT is wondering if Vinny Pacifico most personifies Leopold Butterscotch, what wrestler would most personify Cartman?
Oh, boy. What wrestler would most personify Cartman? That's an excellent question, actually, because it's actually making me think about it. I would say, in terms of, like, that diabolical nature of just kind of trying to always do evil but always trying to play it off as nice, definitely Rude Boy Riley. That guy will rip people relentlessly and without any kind of shame. But then he's, you know, got that smile that, you know, you can't necessarily be angry with him.
Well, we're coming down to the last few minutes of the show, so I want to give you plenty of time. If there's anything you would like to say to the listeners, plug and promote anything and everything, social medias, upcoming appearances, merchandise, your favorite seafood restaurant, anything in the world, floor is all yours.
I appreciate that, man. So you can check me out, like I said, on social media, both Twitter and Instagram, King of Chaos, NYC. My Facebook, which I've been plugging this show, and I know you guys have been plugging me as well, is under my civilian name, Jake Gomez. Find me there as well. I'm plugging a lot of stuff there, too. The Warriors of Wrestling Training Center, where I am a trainer, is in Staten Island. If you've got any listeners in New York or just anybody at all who's interested in checking out wrestling training, we do live streams every Thursday from both the training center, and then myself and the boss, Joey B, do a one-hour Q&A on Facebook Live, pretty much answering all the questions. We do have a topic every week that we try and stick to, but usually people are asking questions and we let it get chaotic and fun. And that's the thing. It's all about fun. You mentioned favorite restaurant, and I got to give a huge, huge shout out to Petey Burger in Queens, the best burgers that you can get. Unfortunately, with my diet, I can't eat there that often. And I mean, that's about it. I just, you know, again, want to give all the respect to you guys, you know, for giving me the opportunity to do this interview with you. You know, I always, you know, love that and respect that. Anybody listening in, any fans, any new fans that I've made just by my charming personality, you know, thank you again. Please, you know, support social media. Buy a T-shirt. Why not? I ship worldwide with the T-shirt. Again, check me out on YouTube. I've got a lot of matches up. A lot of them are up on WOWTV Live. A ton of my matches are on there, including one that I had in March of last year with Rhino, which happens to be one of my favorites. I think that's about it. I've shilled about as much as I possibly can. But again, thank you guys very much for having me.
Well, thank you.
It's been our pleasure having you on the show. Best of luck as you continue on with your career. Hopefully we'll do this again sometime with you down the road. Well, fans, get out there, support your local independent promotions. Lots and lots of shows happening this week. Tomorrow is National Pro Wrestling Day, so definitely get out there, support this week. And we will talk to you Sunday afternoon. Referee Christy Jones will be joining us. It should be an outstanding time. We will talk to you then.
All right, awesome, man. Thank you very much.
Thank you.